This place. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would speak to each one at their point of need. We pray that your healing hand might be upon those that need your healing touch this morning. Fill us to overflowing with your love and grace, and we'll give you all of the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Shall we stand together as we sing hymn number 98? 98, to God be the glory, great things he has done, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Unite our hearts and voices in the Apostles' Creed, this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll have the sharing of joys and concerns in just a moment. Be seated. We will have joys and concerns in just a couple of moments. A year ago when I came here to hear our piano player and our choir director say, "This is my last Sunday." Obviously, he had told you all that before, but I got here just in time to tell him goodbye. I'm not going to do that. In fact, we now have a choir director, and as of this morning, we are going to have another member on our staff, and I'm not going to even going to wait till my last Sunday to get her up here. We are going to have the installation service for our Minister of Children and Youth at this time. Here's one of the children here. Brittany, would you come forward, please? Now, this is a family thing, folks. Okay, it's not us and them. Me and you, it's all of us working together. So if any of you all want to come up here and stand with Brittany, this would be a good time to do it. You all come on down. The whole family, anybody wants to come? Now, there are people saying, "Wait a minute, our church is having trouble with finances already." Well, just so you know, the Minister of Children and Youth is going to be making twice as much as the choir director.
Zero.
Yeah. Two times zero is, okay, you got it. All right. But Brittany feels called to work in ministry with children and youth. She's going to be taking some courses and whatnot, and I think it's exciting to have her get her start right here at Rockwood United Methodist Church. And folks, you all are in this with her. You got that? You're not alone. Okay? I've got some questions I need to ask you. Brittany, you've been called by God and chosen by God's people to be a leader. This ministry is a blessing, and it recognizes your special gifts. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to his people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and in your work as our new Minister of Children and Youth. Today, we install you as Children of Minister and Youth for Rockwood United Methodist Church. Do you this day acknowledge yourself as a faithful disciple of Christ? Will you devote yourself to the service of God in this world? Will you so live that you enable others to be people of love and peace? Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the ministry for which you have been chosen? Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessing on your servant Brittany, who has been called to be a minister of children and youth at Rockwood United Methodist Church. Fill Brittany with your grace and strength to give wholeheartedly to your service. Keep before Brittany the example of Jesus, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Guide Brittany as she works to build your kingdom. Reward her faithfulness with the knowledge that in her ministry, your purposes are accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now to all of you in the congregation, there and here and there. Dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the harvest. Will you do all that you can to assist and encourage Brittany in the responsibilities to which she's been called? giving her your cooperation and prayers. If so, answer, we will.
We will.
If so, answer, we will.
We will.
That's better. Thank you. All right. I would like to invite you all up here to join with me as we have a prayer for Brittany. You can lay your hands on her if you wish. Okay? Heavenly Father, in these moments, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon Brittany. As she comes to minister to our children and youth, as she comes to be a part of the staff of Rockwood United Methodist Church, we just pray now that you would fill her to overflowing with your love and care. We pray, Lord, that you would open the doors for children and youth to become a part of your ministry here. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. All right. We're growing, folks. And I hope you're prepared for God to do some great and wonderful things here at Rockwood. I'm excited about the days ahead for the church here. You know, sometimes a pastor says, boy, I don't know if somebody comes in that's better than me. Well, I hope they are. I would love 6 months or a year from now to hear the Rockwood's running 150 or 200, that Rockwood's reaching out into the community, that Rockwood's making a difference. I have no turf issues there. I think David Tabor's a wonderful man of God, and I think he's the one that God has picked for this time and this situation. Day by day, I'm feeling like I wasn't as young as I was the day before. And I think he will provide some new energy and some new vision for the church. As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share? Going to Philadelphia. As in Pennsylvania, not Tennessee, okay. Just down the road here, yeah, okay. Great, Wednesday and Friday. Okay, we'll be praying for Miss Ellie too, won't we? Ellie Mae? Ellie, that's all right. Congregation does the same thing all through the sermon. That's okay. All right, but do be praying for them. Any others? Yes. How's she doing?
She's confined to a wheelchair till at least Tuesday. I think she's getting stronger, but she's pulled, as I said, I don't know if I said or not, but she's ripped a pectoral muscle as well, and so she can't do this with her arms just yet with Walker, but yeah. Hopefully by Tuesday her legs will be strong enough that she can do some walking and not have to put so much pressure on her arms.
Okay, so as long as she doesn't learn to pick the lock on the seatbelt of the wheelchair, we're okay, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That wheelchair has been a blessing.
Michelle?
I just wanted to remember all the young people who are graduating from high school and college. I know that I had a really good friend who has a daughter who graduated last night from Rockwood, and I know that the Lanes had a friend daughter who graduated, and I just wanted to remember all those kids who are starting.
Yes, definitely. We need to keep reminding our young people they don't necessarily have to go to college. I'm sorry, Christy, but I don't believe college is for everybody. They don't need to get married in the next 3 months. You know, if it's a year or 5 years or 10 years or they don't get married at all, that's okay too. Used to be if somebody didn't get married, there was something wrong with them. As soon as they got married, if they didn't have children, there was something wrong with them. Okay. Any others?
I'd like to have prayers sent out to my family and friends in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. And you know, show you how times have changed. Used to be people in New York would make fun of people from West Virginia. Now people in West Virginia can say, you can come down if you want, but don't try to change us. Yeah. These are the tough times. Hey, got an amen back there in the corner, yes. All right. Yeah, it does get interesting just before summer break and before Christmas break and all the other 180 days of school too, so. As the choir sings, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we have the opportunity not only to be near to the heart of God, but to have you near us. Remind us, Lord, that no matter what happens in this world in which we live, and it seems like everything is getting turned upside down, remind us that you promised that your grace was sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We just pray, Lord, that you would comfort our hearts. We pray that we might not fuss and worry and fume over all the things that we hear and see. Help us, Lord, that we might just put our trust in you. Remind us that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Remind us, Lord, that as long as our years here seem, they're nothing compared to eternity that we'll be spending with you. We pray, Lord, that you'd continue to keep your hand upon Rockwood United Methodist Church. We thank you for the way that you've used this church down through the years to make a difference in Rockwood, in Roane County, on the Holston Conference, and around the world. We just pray, Lord, now as we prepare to begin this new chapter in the church's history, that you would bless each one. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the Tabor family as they come. Be with David and Mary Lynn, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister through them as they seek to do your work here, as they seek to make a difference in this community. We pray, Lord, today that you'd be with all of our first responders. Be with all of our troops around the globe and be with their families. Be with our leaders, Lord. Remind them that we are called to be one nation under God. Thank you, Lord, for the Christian heritage that we have. Thank you for the way that you have had your hand upon America all of these years. Help us now that we might put our hand in yours. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, let me remind you that the offering receptacles are at the doors. Remember your church. I realize that it's almost summer vacation time, but the bills at the church don't take a vacation. We need your continued faithfulness. Thank you so much for your gifts. Let's pray for the offering now. Heavenly Father, we pray for these gifts from these your people, these people who have been so faithful down through the years. We pray that you bless the gift, bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. $3.99 or $3.95?
$3.99.
Okay.
The thing's wrong too. It's take my life and let it be.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. You have so little faith. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Hey. Allowing God to bless us in times of change. I don't think I need to remind you that change is coming. In fact, every single day of our lives, change is coming. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 14. It's talking here about Satan. You remember the fallen angel? How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I think there's a very good chance that the old tempter is going to try to work on some of the people of Rockwood about this thing of change. But we need to realize that that's what life is all about. After the service this morning, when we go out and we get into our car or truck or van, we start the motor, we put it in gear, and we step on the accelerator. All of a sudden, we're going to see things change. The things that were in the windshield are now in the side windows, and a few seconds later, they're in the rearview mirror. Oh, it's okay to enjoy the scenery out the side windows and occasionally see what's behind you. But the main focus needs to be what is in front of us. What's ahead? One thing we need to realize that as long as something is living, there is going to be change. From baby to child to youth, from kindergarten to elementary to middle school to high school to college, from youth to young adult, from single to married, from a couple to a family, and then it starts all over again. The cycle of life. Rockwood United Methodist Church is approaching the beginning of a new chapter in its history. Changes are coming. And unfortunately, Mark Twain had it right when he said, the only one who likes change is a wet baby. You know, would that it could just be the same. I grew up in the Congregational Church in New England. Now, you talk about not much change. Yeah, occasionally they'd get a new pastor in, but in 14 years in that church, For 7 or 8 years, their opening hymn was Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then they changed it to When Morning Gilds the Skies. And for the next 6 or 7 years, that was always the opening hymn every Sunday. The pastor would get up there and he would read his prayers, he would read his sermon, and he would read the benediction and everything else, and we'd go home. I remember as a little guy, down the other side of the church on our row, everybody had their own seats then, just like we do now. But the way down at the other end was a custodian of the church. And normally the preacher would say, "Let us pray." And those whose eyes weren't already closed would close them. That was it. But the custodian down here, every time he'd say, "Let us pray," he'd go like this. And I thought, what's wrong with him? And nothing changed. And I tell you what, it's exciting to be in churches where there are changes going on. Over in the book of Genesis, we find this old serpent, the tempter, getting in on the ground floor of God's new creation. You remember the discussion that the serpent had with Adam and Eve? You remember God said, "You can eat of any the fruit of any tree in the garden, except this one over here." Now, I don't think there's necessarily anything different from that tree than all the others, except for people to obey God, there had to be choices, right? There had to be a choice. So God says, "Okay, you don't eat of that one, everything else is fine." And the serpent and Eve got to talking about it, and the serpent said, "You can't eat of that tree, why not?" She said, "Oh, God said if we even touch it, we'll die." I didn't read that in Genesis there. But the serpent said, "No, you won't die." He says, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." Now imagine with me, Adam and Eve in a perfect creation, a beautiful garden where there are no weeds, no annoying or harmful bugs, none of that. Imagine living in a world where there wasn't any death, disease, crime, inflation, war, politics, taxes, formula shortages, any of that stuff. They were living in a perfect creation. But here was a chance to know about something that wasn't perfect. To know both good and evil. Verse number 6 says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and that its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her." Now, the rest of this is a slight paraphrase, okay? It may not be in your translation. It says, "So she took some of the fruit, and she added 2 cups of granulated sugar, 1 pinch of salt, 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 cup of milk, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, and some ground cinnamon. After the preparation, she put it in the oven at 350 degrees for 40 minutes. When it was done, Adam and Eve put vanilla ice cream on the peach cobbler and ate it." You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. That wasn't peach. That was an apple cobbler." I can prove it was a peach cobbler as easy as you can prove it was an apple cobbler, okay? But the main thing is, this was the beginning of sin in the world. God said, "Don't," and they did. We need to remember, especially in this day and age, and as we begin a new chapter in our church here, that if this is God's church and God is really at the wheel and God is in charge of us individually and us as God's church, we have nothing to worry about. There's no need to fear. We don't need to be afraid of change or different things happening. Most of the time, if we find ourselves in deep water spiritually, it's because we have either intentionally or unintentionally taken Jesus out of our lives and out of the driver's seat of our life and our heart, or out of the driver's seat of our church and put self there. Now, if we were to have a discussion this morning about sin, down through the years, I've heard people, when you mention sin, they said, oh yeah, that's smoking and drinking and dancing and going to the theater and spouse abuse and murder and all that. But sin is really a whole lot simpler than that, folks. It's not a big list of the thou shalt nots. Sin is anything that takes God off the throne of our heart and puts self there. Take the word sin. We've shared this before, S-I-N. Notice what's right in the middle of sin, I. Eve saw the fruit and said, I think that really looks like good fruit. I think those peaches would make a nice cobbler. I really do. I. Not God said no, I think. Right in the middle of pride. So many of the things going on in this world, including in the Ukraine. I think there's a fellow from Russia that has a whole bunch of pride, and he said, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to win this war no matter what. When we allow pride into our hearts, there's going to be some destruction there. And you know, we could go further. Crime. C-R-I-M-E. That may be yours, but I want it, so I'm going to take it anyway. I have these drives, I have these desires, and I don't care about your rights. I'm going to satisfy them no matter what. I, C-R-I-M-E. I got to thinking about it this past week, and I even came up with another word that would fit in here. Another word that has I right in the middle. Stupidity. You can figure it out later, but it's there. Anytime we take God out of the middle of things and put I in there, we have some problems. The songwriter had it nailed when he said, oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Have you ever noticed how often those people who profess to be Christians are negative, critical, and judgmental? The Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. But how often do we hear Christians and hear churches that set themselves up as judge and jury and executioners? That's not what we're called to do. So often church folk become almost combative at even the suggestion of any change. We get all wrapped up in stuff and miss the joy of the journey that we're on that ultimately is going to lead us into God's presence. Let me give you six things this morning. Six secrets to face change and make the coming weeks and months and years the very best ones that Rockwood United Methodist Church has seen yet. It'd be easy to look around this morning and say, oh my, we ain't what we used to be. No, we're not. But we ain't all that God wants us to be either. We do all of our part and God takes care of all the rest. Number one. We need to learn to look for God's blessings instead of our wants. For many people, there's never enough. I've told you this several times before, and I'm going to tell you it again. May not tell you more than one more time after today, but we need to remember that in this room, every single one of us here this morning, are among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. You know, we hear about Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and all of them with their hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't have quite that much in my bank account, do we? No, okay, I didn't think we did. I figured I'd better check. But I'm in the same category as they are as far as the top 5% of the richest people in the world. We've got so much to be thankful for. What do you suppose would happen in our churches and in our communities and in our nation if people got more focused on giving than getting? And we could get into an interesting political discussion right now, but we won't. So often when people think of the government, they're like this. Remember John Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? We've got an entitled generation coming up, folks. You've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, that if half of the churches in the United States of America did half of what God is calling them to do, we wouldn't have the problem today with hunger and homelessness. Probably wouldn't even have a lot of the problem with crime. Probably wouldn't have as much of a problem with formula shortages or anything else. The church can play a big part in all of those things. Number two, live through our faith and not our fears. Worry is a substitute for faith. Some people are concerned that if they fail to worry, if they fail to worry, that which they fear will happen. You ever done that? There was a comedian that said one time that he could worry about six different things at the same time. Oh, I've seen some church folks that could beat that. But imagine. Some people worry because they believe worrying about it keeps danger away. That's substituting worry for God in our lives. So often we get wrapped up in our superstitions. We find a lucky penny. Do you realize that somebody lost that penny? Doesn't sound lucky to me. Used to be we would rub our lucky rabbit's foot. Think with me. That rabbit used to have four of them. Look what happened to him or her. We get wrapped up in our worries and our superstitions. George Mueller, back in the 1800s, the 19th century, was a founder of orphanages that cared for thousands of children. He said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Let me give you an illustration from his life that kind of shows this. One morning, the house mother of the orphanage came to him. She said, Mr. Mueller, the children are all ready for school, but they have nothing to eat. George Mueller asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. After they were all seated and quiet, he offered prayer for the food that they were about to receive. He got done praying. Wasn't more than a minute or two later, there was a knock on the door. He opened up the door and there was a village baker there. The baker said, Mr. Mueller, said, I wasn't able to sleep all night. He said, I felt God telling me that you needed some bread and some rolls and some pastries and whatnot. And I've got them all out here on my cart. Let me go get them for you. He brought them in. Moment later, there was another knock on the door. It was a milkman. His cart had broken down right outside the orphanage. And before he could get the wheel fixed on it, the milk would spoil. He said, Mr. Mueller, could you use some free milk? George smiled and nodded. The man brought in 10 huge cans of milk, which was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. Someone has said that things turn out best for those who make the best out of the way things turn out. Let me share a story with you about somebody that you're probably familiar with. Johnny Erickson Tata. When she was a teenager, she was out swimming with some friends, and she dove off the dock and hit her head on the bottom. She became a quadriplegic. She tells about Thanksgiving at her house. She said, "I don't know how it is with your family, but with mine, especially on Thanksgiving, when so many relatives are gathered and everybody's talking and laughing at the same time, after dinner, Dad speaks a word of thanks, followed by each of us, sometimes as many as 25 people around the big oak dining table. Thanksgiving 1967, I was in the hospital hooked up to IV tubes and a catheter. I was strapped to a smelly Stryker frame that made me very claustrophobic. There was nothing but darkness in my heart. In my bitterness, anger, and suffering, I felt like I would never, ever be able to thank God again. Another year passed, and my heart had time to mellow. Thanksgiving 1968 came. My spirit began to soften, and once again I was thankful. I was home from the hospital with my family. After dinner, in our usual tradition, Dad stood up, and through his tears, he said he was thankful that I was home. When it was my turn, I looked at the faces of my family, and I said, I'm thankful that I'm sitting up in a wheelchair now. I'm thankful that I don't have any more bed sores, and I don't have to go through any more operations. I'm thankful that I'm home for good. I'm thankful that I found a corset that fits me right so I can sit up comfortably and breathe okay. I'm thankful for my family. And most of all, I'm thankful to God for all of his blessings. She goes on to say, and you know what? On Thanksgiving 1968, it didn't matter that my fingers could no longer braid the mane and tail of my thoroughbred. It didn't matter that I couldn't help, that I had no strength to polish a saddle or drive my car. It didn't matter that I couldn't help my family prepare dinner or set the table. What mattered was that I was alive, and that I was beginning to smile and feel. Thanksgiving 1968 was far more wonderful and meaningful to me than any Thanksgiving I've ever had. Number four, remember that it's all about God's grace for us and others. Maybe some of you are familiar with Paderewski, the great pianist. Two students at Stanford once sent him an invitation to come to campus for a concert. He agreed to do the concert for $2,000. After the concert, the students met him backstage. And they said, "Mr. Paderewski, we're sorry, but we're only able to raise $1,600. We'll gladly give you an IOU for the other $400." Paderewski took the $1,600 check and tore it up. Then he said, "I'm sorry you didn't raise enough money. Pay your bills from this. Take 10% of what's left for your profits, and then send me the balance." Paderewski returned to Poland just in time for the outbreak of World War I. After the war, all of Europe was in dire straits. Millions of people were on the verge of starvation. One of the countries that the United States selected to receive massive shipments of food was Poland. The Polish government appointed Paderewski to go to America to thank President Herbert Hoover for the aid. When they met, Herbert Hoover told Paderewski that he was one of the two students at Stanford whose debt the piano player forgave years before. We need to realize that we sow what we reap. If we sow bad seed, we're going to reap a bad harvest. If we sow kindness, love, and generosity, we'll reap kindness, love, and generosity. Paul says if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. We need to realize that in this time of change, there are opportunities for us to be able to reap a very bountiful harvest. But we're going to have to learn how to give. And I'm not just talking about in the offering. Patricia West had a rare blood type. The antibodies she had in her blood were found only in one in every 5,000 people. One day she was in for a doctor's visit, and a doctor asked her if she'd be willing to donate blood to the area blood bank. He said someone's life might depend on it. She went and donated that day. A couple weeks later, she moved from Florida back north to help her aging parents. While she was there, she had to undergo emergency surgery. During the procedure, she began to hemorrhage. She was in critical need of a transfusion. It was discovered that her blood type was not available anywhere in the area. In desperation, the hospital called the National Rare Donor Registry. Blood of her type was located in the Edison Blood Bank in Florida. It was her blood. They packed it and flew it to the hospital. She lives today because she was willing to give. Number five, rejoice at all that God has given us to share with others. We've all heard it said that love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. There's a lot of truth to that. Rockwood United Methodist Church needs to remember in these coming days and months and years that we are called to be a river, not a reservoir. We're not called to gather it all together and keep it. We're called to allow God to let it flow in and then let it flow out. Number six, celebrate the promises of God. Paul says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way for great generosity through which we will produce thanksgiving to God. Before we can reap, we must sow. Before we can enjoy God's promises, we must be obedient. Before we are blessed, we must be a blessing. I've seen so often when churches get the idea that, well, we don't have many people, we don't have much to offer, so we're going to hang on tight to what we've got. Imagine the farmer that we were talking about. I've only got a little bit of seed left. What if I put it in the ground and nothing comes up, then I don't have anything? But if you don't put it in the ground, it ain't going to grow and you're not going to reap a harvest. Folks, as I said, I believe there are some exciting days ahead for our church. Bill and Gloria Gaither talked about it this way half a century ago. They said, there have been times when giving and loving brought pain, and I promised I would never let it happen again. But I found out that loving was well worth the risk, and that even in losing, you win. He showed us that only through dying we live. He gave when it seemed there was nothing to give. He loved when loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave from an old rugged cross. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. But I could never, never outlove the Lord. As God's children, picture us giving by the spoonful, while God's got a big old dump truck backed up to the door, unloading. A dump truck load at a time as we're giving it out a spoonful at a time. God is going to give more than we could ever receive. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we pray that you would put a determination in our minds and hearts that change is going to be an opportunity. We pray that as David and Mary Lynn come, that you would bless them and use them to your honor and glory. We pray that you would prepare our hearts that we might do all that we can, not for them, but for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for our final hymn this morning for us to sing that song that I just quoted from Bill and Gloria Gaither. Allow this to become the prayer of your heart. Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want love, love, till it seems like I'm going to run out. But remind me that I could never outlove the Lord. Let's stand together and sing that song. It'll be on the screen here, and there's an insert in your worship folder. And we're going to be singing it with the Collingsworth family, so you don't have to sing it by yourself, okay?
I'm going to give. going to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord. I'm going to love.
May you leave this place with that being the testimony and pledge of your lips and your heart. I dare you, and watch what God will do for God's church. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.